If you've spent more than a few minutes on social media recently, chances are you've heard the debate around the concept of the 15-minute city. Or not. Pollster Mario Canseco was with us last Saturday, and he was asking British Columbians about their thoughts on the 15-minute city, and his finding was, not many of us know what the heck it is. So we decided today on the show we would follow up on Mario's information and get some more direct information on what it's all about. A pleasure to welcome to the program Wendell Cox. Mr. Cox is a senior fellow at the Urban Reform Institute in the United States and the Frontier Center for Public Policy here in Canada. Wendell Cox joins us from St. Louis this morning. Wendell Cox, good morning, sir, and welcome.
A pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Wendell. Can you take just a few minutes and tell us, point blank, what the heck is a 15-minute city?
Yes, indeed. First of all, it is the basic concept that you should be able to get to whatever you need within 15 minutes of your house. It is absolutely impractical, and Ed Glaser, the famous housing economist from Harvard, put it pretty clearly. He said it should be recognized as a dead end that would stop cities from fulfilling their role as engines of opportunity. So that may give you an idea of where I stand on it.
Well, it's interesting because the folks in Edmonton kind of took your take on what it means too and got quite up in arms about it to the point where there were organized protests about the concept of the 15-minute city, which of course was put forward by the mayor of Edmonton and did kind of landed with a thud, to say the very least. Was the information surrounding the protests and their interpretation of what a 15-minute city is all about just flat wrong?
Well, I don't know because I'm not familiar with that case. However, I do know there have been a lot of concerns about compulsion being applied to make this happen. That would be a real problem. I don't see anybody really pushing that line at this point.
Right.
But the fact is that we can't get there. I mean, all of the proponents of this from Carlos Moreno in the city of Paris to wherever you want to go. None of them have come up with a way we're going to get to this, and it's why former principal planner of the World Bank and graduate, by the way, of Ecole Superieure des Beaux-Arts in Paris, has basically called it the final utopia. And the reason I mention that is because we have all seen plenty of utopian visions around this world. Most of them have failed, and I won't go into detail on that. But this is so impractical, it's unbelievable.
Well, it sounds like, and here in Vancouver, it's important to note, just for your own information, the war on the car has been ongoing for decades, and to varying degrees of success, Wendell, depending on the administration du jour. So is this part of that? Is this, because the 15-minute city, at least as I understand it, does not involve cars in any way. It's about walking and biking, being able to get wherever you need to go, to accomplish whatever within 15 minutes, car-free.
Yeah, no, very definitely it has all sorts of parallels with the war on the car. And the fact is that if we didn't have cars, we couldn't have cities the size of Vancouver at this point. And by cities, I'm talking about the census metropolitan area, which goes all the way down to White Rock and
sure.
out almost to Abbotsford.
Right.
2.7 million people at this point. They have been, the opportunities that have been created by the ability to get around a large area, a very dense area in the case of Vancouver, means that jobs are available and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be real careful about not throwing this out. Now, I have no problem if some mayor, and I realize you've got apparently an improved mayor this time compared to last time. But if you, if the mayor of Vancouver, and I have no idea where he's coming from on the issue, were to basically say, let's do this, so long as he doesn't force anybody, and so long as he doesn't spend an awful lot of the taxpayers' money to try to accomplish this impossible task, you know, okay. But in fact, we should recognize that we have a lot of problems in this world. In Vancouver, you have some of the worst housing affordability in the world.
Right.
You have kids that are never going to live as well as their parents have lived. You got a lot bigger issues to deal with that. And I'm not making any judgment on the administration of the city of Vancouver. I'm
right.
only pointing out that there are a whole lot higher priorities.
I think the previous administration would be more inclined to go with the flow on this 15-minute city business. Is there anything good about the notion, the idea of the 15-minute city, the fact that you could ideally be in an environment where you can accomplish everything you need within a 15-minute bike or walk from where you live? There have to be some positives to be derived from that, as long as there's nothing compulsory.
Well, again, the point is a perfect world. There's nothing wrong with a perfect world.
Right.
But we're not going to get there. I mean, you know, this is such a waste of intellectual energy that it's unbelievable. Our public officials need to focus on the biggest problems. And quite frankly, right now in the Vancouver CMA, I would suggest there is nothing more important than making housing affordable so people can afford to live there. You are bleeding domestic migrants from the Vancouver CMA to places like Vancouver Island, Nanaimo, Courtenay, Victoria, and all the way up to even Kamloops. And the point is that people are facing a cost of living crisis. The long, difficult road to achieving the largest middle class in the developed world, mind you, in Canada, You are losing that now. And the preservation of the middle class, which is far more important than utopian visions that cannot be achieved except in the minds of planners.
Let's change gears and talk housing affordability for a moment. Politicians are all over this one, Wendell. They say, we've got the answer. And the answer, of course, in the federal budget a couple of weeks ago, ultimately will make houses more expensive because, of course, the more money you give to people to buy houses, the automatic increase in the price of houses goes with it.
No question about that. The proposals, and I keep up with Vancouver and Canada a bit, the proposals that are being made to solve the housing affordability crisis will buy the politicians some additional years, but they will not accomplish anything.
Right.
Vancouver's a perfect example. I mean, everybody wants to densify. There is no core city of a metropolitan area in the first world that has densified more than the city of Vancouver.
Right.
From 1961, you went from a population of 380,000 people to 660 in the 2021 census. No place else has done that. And all of the planners say, oh, densify is going to improve housing affordability. Well, right now, according to our international housing survey that covers 94 metropolitan areas in 9 countries, Vancouver ranks third, only behind Hong Kong and Sydney, with a price-to-income ratio of 4 times, or I say 3 times, what it was before your metro began with its agricultural reserve policy, 50 years ago.
Interesting stuff. Wendell Cox, appreciate your time on the weekend, sir. I'm glad we found you, and I look forward to an opportunity to continue this conversation down the road. Thanks, Wendell. It's great to have you
happy
on.
To do so. Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.